You asked about amateur dramatics. I didn't get interested in that because my brother was a well-known actor, and I'd got interested in the real theatre.
So what was he called?
I put Ronald down on.
So you went and saw the proper thing.
I got introduced to all sorts of. I met Richard Burton and Ben Travers and quite a few people. I used to go up to the theatre when he was working in London, and that was another reason that I wanted to come back from Australia because I missed it so much. I thought it was a shame for the children, for Linda and David, to miss out on that experience.
Did you come from this part of the country initially, or when you went?
Well, I was in Reading from the age of 7, long enough.
Right. So did you know Sonning itself then?
Oh, yes. Mm.
Did you used to walk down to Sonning?
Yes, and my father used to bring us from Reading or from Caversham Bridge on the steamer on Sundays to Sonning.
So there was a steamer that did an official trip down, did it?
Yes.
And it stopped at the bridge, did it? Where did it take you to? To the lock or the steamer, if it was coming from Caversham Bridge?
I'm thinking.
Did it go through the lock or did it stop at the lock?
I can't remember. I must have gone through the lock. They couldn't have stopped the other side of the lock. It must have come to the bridge. But I think the cost was about 6 months ahead.
Right. And what did you do when you got here?
Turned around and went back.
Back.
But one thing I remember about it, there used to be little boys, little urchins, running along the side of on the towpath, following the steamer, and they'd do handstands and all sorts of tricks as they were running. They ran the whole of the way from Reading to Sonning. And as people got off, they gave them a few pennies.
So this takes us back to the 1930s?
1930s, yes.
Right. So were you in Reading in the war and with Sonning, or were you out in Australia by then?
I was in Reading. I didn't go to Australia until 1960. I was only there for over 7.5 years. No, I got drafted to the Inland Revenue at the end of the war and had to work at Somerset House.
Oh, I see.
Which was one of the main Inland Revenue offices at that time, opposite the town hall.
So when you were actually a child, did Sonning seem quite a long way from Reading? I mean, was it regarded as a fairly remote village, or was it?
No, it was. I think most people knew it, and it was. Yeah, we certainly knew it. Of course, we used to come here once or twice a month. Another halfway stop. There was. I don't know. There's a place called the Barrasols or the Bumps, halfway along the river. The towpath from here to Reading, which consists of hills, and there's a chalky thing figures in the bumps, and there was a pub on the riverbank, and this was another. My father used to walk us down to this pub, and I was about 16 or 17. I went with him. And my father said, "And what would you like to drink?" And I sort of took a deep breath and said, "Lemon and port, please, Dad." I'd never had one in my life. I'd never had any alcoholic drink in my life. He looked rather startled, but said, "All right." And he went and got it for me. That was my first alcoholic drink, lemon and port.
And the pub's gone now, has it?
I believe it has, yes. Mm. Can't remember the name of it.
So when you came back, and you were saying it was such a community when you came back, did you sort of have sort of village celebrations? I mean, you had for Sonningai itself, or were most of the sort of activities in Sonning? I mean, you talked about Christmas and having...
The ones in Sonning were mostly personal, what we'd arranged personally. There was nothing, I can't think of anything that was arranged all together. Oh, the only thing, at one time, oh, it was only a carry-on from the Christmas entertainments. I think it got a bit too expensive and too much hard work for us, that we decided to have a party at the White Hart, as it was, the Great House. You know, there's a room opposite the main building that goes round the bend, and we hired that and had a sort of a medieval evening where people used to entertain. I remember people standing up on the tables and dancing and things like that, and that lasted for a few years. That was the only group thing that I can remember doing.
But otherwise it was smaller groups.
Yes, it was private parties and things we arranged separately.
And what about floods and things? Do you remember much about...
Never had any. We used to get the floods. The field at the back here used to be flooded every year. It was the water table. In fact, half our back garden used to be underwater, only 2 or 3 inches. The only time we have felt anything from the floods was Christmas about 3 years ago.
2003.
Yes. When it actually came up, we have a cupboard under the stairs, and that's the only part of the house which isn't a concrete floor. And David went poking around in there one day and said, "Good grief," he said, "it's full of water." And this water was rising, rising, rising. So we thought we'd better do something about it. Actually, by this time, the whole of the house was surrounded by water. And we got a pump. Paul Brown went out and managed to rent us a pump, because they were all in such supply, nobody had pumps left. And he brought this pump back, and it had a huge pipe, an outlet pipe about this diameter. The only thing for it was to put it out of the front door, so we couldn't shut the front door. And the whole of the house was surrounded by water in this time, but it was not in the house, only under the stairs, and it had been pumped out through the front door. So I went to bed, and David came up to me and said, when I was in bed, he said, "Don't worry, Mum." Wasn't particularly worried, but he said, "Now don't worry, just imagine you're on a boat and that's the engine you can hear." Pump's going boom, 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 boom.
Do you know what happened in, because the other big flood was 47, I think, so
yes.
You don't know what
Well, I've read a report. David has a report. He has it's contributed things,
yeah,
to the archive,
but you don't know what happened to the actual house itself.
Well, this house, there used to be 3 cottages, and we read a report which said that the residents of the terraced cottages, which was this, were evacuated to the barn house.
Ah.
And little so-and-so was carried round there. So little so-and-so obviously couldn't walk.
Mm.
And they were taken into the barn house. That was 1947.
Do you know, you said these houses were tied to the mill. Do you know when the actual cottages were built?
Well, half of this, from here to the end, is early 17th century, which is pretty old.
And
it was built on in two sections for the other half.
And so who did it belong to in the 17th century? Was that for the... Because,
well,
that was pretty
now
male.
That's a... interesting point, Annabelle. I was longing to get the deeds of this house. I thought, oh, they'll be so interesting to go through the history of this house. And when we'd paid off our mortgage and we finally got the deeds, big disappointment. It had never belonged to anybody other than the mill.
Really?
Mm. I thought we were going to have a list of interesting names and be able to delve into the history, but there was nothing. We were the first people to have bought it.
So the mill was running at the same time then? I didn't realise it
wasn't. Well, yes. They say the... is there not a report that the mill supplied flour during the... what happened in the 11th century?
11th century?
Yeah, Magna Carta? No, not Magna Carta. I don't know, anyway. The mill was supposed to have provided flour for something memorable yonks ago.
So this was just built by the mill, presumably, for the workers?
Evidently this one. We were told, we had people from Reading Museum coming to list it. And he assured me that this house, this half, was built for a gentleman because the beams are chamfered, which means that the edges have been chipped off.
Yes.
They're not all, because one or two of them have been replaced. But certainly in the sitting room up there, you can see these sloping edges to the bottom of the beams. And that is a...
That's classy.
That's classy if you've got chamfered beams. Oh, and they went up in the loft. And I can see that little man now. His legs were dangling in the loft. And he said, "Ooh, you've got Perlins. Ooh, you've got Queens." Does he recognise all these different beams in this part of the house?
So it must have been very, very few houses here when this was built, mustn't it?
When this one? Mm. Well, there was the homestead. I think the homestead is slightly older than this. That belonged to the mill. No, it didn't. I'm telling fibs. It belonged to the farm. Fillimore's owned that. And the Fillimore's owned Orchard Lodge, of course. Fraser's house, the farmhouse. And there's another one which escapes me at the moment. Can't think which other one it was, but there is another one.
But there's been quite a lot.
Oh, the Hawthorne Cottage. Hawthorne Cottage on the main road.
But there must have been a lot of... There's been quite a bit of building since you've been here, isn't there?
Yes, there have been about 12 new houses. There have been the two bungalows, the two opposite the old house, the two slices that go together there, the three barn four barn conversions. And byways.
Byways now is obviously so.
That's now three houses, which used to be one.
That's expanding quite a lot, really, isn't it?
I'm sure there's at least 12 new places. And that's only as far as the byways. Oh, and the gallery. That was not there. That was just a barn. Until Barry Steele changed it into a house. You remember that, don't you?
Well, no, we came after that had been built.
Did you?
Yes, we've been here for about 22 years, so... A long time after that happened, in fact.
Really?
Yeah.
As they lived at next door to you, Barry Steele.
That's right.
Lived where Rhea is.
Yeah.
And then they built and moved into the gallery.
What are the good things that have happened? What do you feel sort of... you sound quite sad and that... The community's gone. Have there been any sort of positive things with the changes as time goes on? Or do you think it's sort of one's lost the community, to a certain extent lost the community?
Well, I think actually it's me that's changed. And I've got so contented with my own home and life that I'm not terribly aware of what's going on around outside much. which may be a shame.
Were you? Are you fairly self-sufficient with vegetables and things?
We were, yes. In fact, we still are. We still have our vegetable garden.
And what happened to the field out beyond? Was that ever farmed, or was it?
It used to be used for grazing. Oh, that was funny. It was a farm. Fillmore's was a dairy farm, and they used to walk the cattle over from the farm to here, over the main road, and put them in the field. Occasionally they put a bull in as well, but it was usually cattle, cows grazing. And then they'd take them back, and it was, I don't know how they got them over that road. Ralph Cornish was the cowman. He lived in Hawthorne Cottage, where Renee Nichols lives now. And he'd say, "Come on, my beauty, come on, my beauty, up, my beauty." And they'd follow him. It was incredible. He just had a way with them, and they just behaved beautifully. He got them over the road and down here. I think he'd have a bit of a job today, wouldn't he?
The traffic must have been much, much lighter.
Yes, it was rather different. And it was fun.
All right, I'm just trying to think if there's anything that that there's any other sort of particular things I wanted to ask.
Just thought of another funny. We're talking about the field. Occasionally, if there were no cattle in there, they would mow it and gather up, and they make hay rags. And, well, they take the residue away, but they clear the garden. And Ray Myers, who, as I said, was from Orchard Lodge and was the farm manager, he used to shout about, "OK, Doris, I'm mowing your lawn for you."
Very lovely.
And he used to, they used to grow potatoes as well. And I remember buying potatoes from him, 5 shillings a bag, a sack. And we'd have 5 sacks at a time. And they'd keep, they didn't go shooting and green. 5 sacks of potatoes at a time. Can you imagine it? You get £5 from the supermarket now, and you're lucky if you can use them all.
Yes.
But,
I wonder what variety they were.
I don't know. But to help out, he was rather short of staff when it came to harvesting these potatoes. He'd come round, "Come and help me with the potato crop. Come and help me." And myself and Cynthia Cook and several of the local women went out into this field and helped sorting these potatoes. He'd bring them up on a big machine, and we'd have to sort of sort any rubbish out and separate them. He'd bag them. He was dependent on students from Reading, and sometimes they'd let him down, and he had this crop to get in and nobody to help.
So where did he actually grow them?
They had fields over here, over
over the other side of the road?
Yes. Weren't too far, they weren't very far away.
Because was it within walking distance?
Yeah. Yes, it was. Yeah, their farm owned quite a bit of property out of there. Well, don't you remember the gravel extraction thing?
Well, it's been toing and froing for years, hasn't it?
Yes, but it was supposed to be going over here, and they wanted to turn it into a trout fishery, supposedly. They didn't. Oh, that was another thing. Of course, we were all up in arms about that. We went to the hearing every single day in Henley. There was a hearing, lasted 3 weeks. And we all went there and protest, you know, ready to stand up and say our bit, which we did. And they got defeated.
Because that was before our time. I know that it was.
It was quite a long time ago. I remember Olive Baldwin used to come with me. She lived at Waterside. Robert Baldwin's mother.
Yep, I remember. I remember her.
She was quite a character, as Olive.
Because she was local as well, was she? Or had she moved when Robert...
No, she used to live at Blueberry or somebody, and she was on her own. And after Robert married Judy and came here, Olive bought Four Waterside and lived there. And that was another thing. All of those people at Waterside, we all knew them all. They were all friends and sort of pop in at any time. Or you didn't have to ring up and say, can I come round? You know, you used to just go. But I don't know anybody then. Oh, I do know Sarah. But she's left, hasn't she, Sarah?
Yes.
She's gone now. So I don't know anybody at all at Waterside. That's five cottages, isn't it? Strange.
It is. It's we've somehow lost the community, I think.
We certainly have. And I think also it's my age makes it a bit of a difference. I'm sure David knows more people than I do.
I think David knows lots of people, yes.
Well, yes. He's grown up in here and he's got the feel of Sonning Eye. He works terribly hard at it, you know. I don't know how he manages it. Anyway.
Right, thank you very much.
I shouldn't have said that last bit on there. Can you delete it?
Yes, it can come off. That'll be fine.
I've forgotten we were still on.
I understand. I am...